Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Well, it's that time again. Body's here. I'm here. Pete's got running water in Adelaide. We're all back. We're ready to go, and let's get straight into it. Body, round two, the NBL. Their slogan is expect the unexpected, and that's what we've got. It's brilliant.
Yep. I absolutely didn't expect New Zealand to go down to Adelaide, and that was an overtime thriller. The second win that Adelaide has had, both in overtime, not including what may have happened last night. All right, so we better bring our listeners up to speed here, Brad, that we're actually recording this on Wednesday evening before the New Zealand, actually while the New Zealand-Adelaide game is in progress. So we don't know what's happening in that rematch.
Well, can I actually bring up, normally we record this on a Tuesday because, you know, Body's in Adelaide, so he's a few hours.
Days
behind. Yep. And but Body said, I can't do Tuesdays anymore because I believe Tuesdays anymore because he's coaching. Body,
yeah.
You've been able to find over 80s to play a game?
Over 80s, yep, the over 80s comp. But look, this isn't going to interrupt us for very long because I'm going to get them doing full court layouts and full court jazz. They're going to be dead on the court. So the grade will be finished. So I'll be back. We'll be able to record on Tuesdays again. Don't worry about that. So we're going to record. Monday nights.
True. But no, seriously, we're actually going to we're recording this on a Wednesday, and our man Joe, he is going to be able to put this out. But you're right, Body. When we have this, it will be after the Adelaide-New Zealand game. And that's a shame. But let's stay on because Adelaide-New Zealand played in round two. So let's just quickly go through. Adelaide lost to South East Melbourne Phoenix. Hawks, oh, man, I want to talk about them. Yep. They got a win against Brisbane. Adelaide in a ripper game against New Zealand. Kings. Man, Cairns, what the hell's going on up there, Body? We'll talk about it. Perth did what we expected, and Melbourne United, they're the tough team. So, Body, what did you find? Talk to me.
I thought a couple of the results were a little deceptive. I thought the closeness of United's win over Cairns, you know, the final margin of 2 points may have flattered Cairns a bit because Scotty Machado had a fantastic last quarter. And I actually saw the trends that I wanted to see from this team all season. In the second half, Cairns type end started to play a bit more together. They started to work a bit more defensively, and they started to resemble the team that we saw last year. I mean, I think some of these guys...
Can I just jump in there, Body? I got a problem with Cairns at the moment. You know, I'm a massive lover of Mike Kelly.
Likewise.
You know, and I played against Mike, and he was tough-nosed, and that's what his teams look like. They've just got to stop bitching to the referees, mate.
Yeah,
they've got to get that out of their game because what it seems like to me, and I'm watching this team going, hang on, we're meant to get the calls now because we had a really good season last
Correct.
Year.
Correct. So there's an entitlement.
Yes. And it's like, guys, you got to stop and run back on defense.
Precisely. They're beaten on defensive transition so often it's embarrassing.
Now, you and I spoke about this weeks ago.
Yeah.
DJ Newbold was a massive loss. He's even more of a loss now. Like, I didn't. You know, I expected him to be a loss, not as big as what he is. I like Mirko Djerić, but he needs to come off the bench. But he can't in this team, and I get it. But with DJ, is a massive loss. And I'm just not really enjoying watching Cairns like I did last year.
No, thoughts? Because, absolutely. And I'll tell you who you are enjoying watching. You're watching Cairns Mark II, which is the Hawks, which is Illawarra. They're playing flat out. You know, it's all out there. They're busting their butts. They're working hard defensively. They're going downhill as fast as they can. They're pushing the ball at you. They're playing together. They love each other on the floor as teammates. This is what we saw from Cairns last year that we are not seeing, but which I got to say, I thought I started to see a little bit of a semblance of it in the second half against United. But that was what I was about to say, was that I still think the 2 point margin flattered them. I still think they're a long way off, and that head shaking and bitching to the refs. This is all the stuff, Brad, that I've said. When you're not doing the work, when you have an expectation and you're not doing the work and the result isn't there, you start to bitch and moan because you want help. Because you're not doing the work, so you want help. So who can help you? The refs can help you. You turn to them and you go, come on, man, he was holding my top. Or is this?
Yeah, but in the meantime,
the game gets away.
Yeah, in the meantime, Kings and United in round two just rammed it down their throat. You can't afford to be doing that against any team, but against United, that's another level. But and Cairns have got to play Hawks and Brisbane away this week, but we'll come back to round three, so later. But
the other thing, look, the other one I thought was deceptive was the Perth-Phoenix margin. Okay, you look at the score and it's 86-74 and it's, well, that's pretty comfortable, 12 points.
88-76, sorry, not to
correct you. Sorry. I appreciate you doing that.
You're right.
Because it was 74-73 with 3 minutes to go. So it was a 14-0 run, you're right. So they got to 88 and they hit it, and Cam Glidden hits a consolation three at the buzzer to get them to 76. So in actual fact, it's that 14-0 run over 3 minutes was Perth at its best, really looking good. But up until that point, that's 37 minutes that the Phoenix really competed successfully with them. Point the difference. So, yeah, I need to be a bit more convinced by Perth yet.
Yeah, you know the one that I struggled a little bit with Perth? And I don't mind Kevin White. Like, I know he can play a role. That's not your backup point guard, mate.
No.
They need to play Bryce Cotton in that backup point guard, which they did at times. But that was a little bit sort of worrying for me. And you know who I thought... I just thought Clint Steindl didn't make an impact. I was expecting him, you know, like Damo's gone. They need this second scorer. I thought Blanchfield will only get better. I know he went, I think he went 4 of 13 for the field or something like that. Yeah. But he'll be good for them.
That's right. He'll give them the Tarico White numbers. Yes, the numbers that Tarico White didn't give consistently, Todd Blanchfield will. So there's a step up. Whereas with Steindl, you're still going to get that variety of performance up and down. When he and Cam Glidden first came into the league, I saw them playing. They were both at Cairns at that time under Aaron Fearn. And when I saw him, I thought he was going to be a massive star in this league. But he's kind of settled for where he is. And
like Glidden. Would that be wrong to say? Like Glidden?
No. Yeah. They're sort of settled on, this is who we are. It's like, well, actually, you could be better than that. You could be more consistent than that.
I like Mooney, buddy.
Yeah.
He'll be nice for them.
You like mooning generally, don't you? Sticking your bum out the back seat of a back window.
Now you sound like my wife, buddy. God bless you.
You keep saying that. You're starting to bother me. no, I like Mooney too. I think Mooney's had some unfair reps. So again,
13 and 14.
Yeah.
What do you want out of the guy? 26 minutes, 60% from the field, and he got 14 boards, 8 of them offensively, and I think he had 6 or 7 in the first quarter from memory.
Yep. Yep. So you got Tommy Jervis as well.
Great backup. Yeah, love him.
So that area where we were real concerned, is not that big an area of concern. The only person that they haven't effectively replaced is Nick Kay. I think generally, you know, Damo they'll be able to get on with that.
Who can replace Nick Kay? I know what you're saying. Like that's a tough.
Your other import.
Yeah, happen if Bryce Cotton gets it. Yeah. I mean, Bryce played I think all but a minute 30. Man, he was good. I think he had like 31 points, but some of those assists he did were just unbelievable, mate.
Yeah,
he's free. He's the best player in the league by far.
And he's the best player of this era too.
Yeah.
I think he'd be hard pressed to come up with someone that's been as consistently good for as long.
Oh, hang on, let me throw that at you because our man Corey Homicide Williams, God, this ain't no cupcake league, buddy.
Our man Corey, who's
on the commentary team with me, great guy, love him.
I love him too. He's a terrific bloke, but I just get sick of these.
He's come out and said he is the greatest import ever. 4 years, I think he said in the league. Two championships, is it or three? I don't even know now. Three. Yeah. MVP the league, MVP the finals. Yeah. There's questions there. I just got two words for him. Actually, they're two letters, and they might be LL.
Yeah. Or even LLL, you know, triple L, leaping Leroy Loggins. Yeah. Look, that's the thing is, I honestly think, and you think back, Corey was commentating, and then he was out of the league for a year, and then he came back. And then it was in that time where he was away that Bryce Cotton arrived. Mm. And then Bryce Cotton had that, I think, 45-point game in the grand final series.
Yeah, Illawarra. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Corey has bagged him a few times in the following season. Like, this is supposed to be this guy there. And I think
where he said, like, this is my house and pointed at him or something.
So I can't help but feel that Homicide is trying to, you know, smoke the peace pipe and rebuild bridges with Bryce Cotton by saying something as outlandish as that he's the greatest import of all time, because the league's been going for 40 plus years. And I defy Corey to sit down and tell us what he thought the strengths of Leroy Loggins' game was, or Rob Rose, or you can just keep going. I rattled off a bunch at the website. You know, Ken Richardson in the league's first year. Mm. Rocky Smith. Rocky Smith, who was so good, he
won a championship. Chris Williams. For all our listeners, and we have got a lot now. I'm not going to go back to that, you know, three or four that I used to joke about. Yeah, exactly. So we have got a lot. Yeah, we've set it up now where we might be able to get some interviews. So you know what? I think I'm going to have to get Corey on here, and we're going to have it out. We're going to have it out.
Well, I'm just curious to what he thinks of Doug Overton's game, you know?
Yeah.
You know, just because when you can't answer that question.
Chris Williams.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, he only played one season.
I know, but what a season. Yeah, where do you rate that guy?
I was lucky enough to be assistant coach that year when he was playing too. That guy was a freak. Was an absolute freak.
Made you look good.
Well, and I'll tell you what, that ain't easy with this face. I got a great for radio. Talk to me about round two. So obviously, I don't think it was a shock with Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. You and I both predicted that. We thought the Hawks would beat the Brisbane Bullets. That's not a shock.
Actually, I didn't. I was surprised because I thought the Hawks with men down and Brisbane, you know, desperately needing a win.
I can't remember what I picked, but I know I would have picked.
You picked the Hawks.
Yeah,
I think on here I did too. But then when I wrote about it, I thought maybe, you know, the bubble might burst a bit. They're just up. But they just continued along their merry way. That Tyler Harvey, he got my player of the week at the website. He was sensational. They couldn't stop him. Nothing they could.
Yeah, no. Unbelievable. And that game, 36ers versus the Breakers, that was a brilliant game.
Well, you know.
I enjoyed it.
I did too, but I thought the Breakers were very, very unlucky with the officiating late in regulation. I think there was a number of incidents where they had cause for complaint. I think they had that game won in regulation, and the officials may have assisted. I mean, taking nothing away from Adelaide, they just played. You know, this isn't on Adelaide. They're playing, and Don Sloan hits a couple of big threes, including the one that takes it on into overtime. So, you know, basically he said, hey, you know, remember, I'm not rubbish. I actually can play a little bit. Mm. And him coming off the bench didn't hurt him either. I know Josh Giddey
if you and I would have sat here a week ago and said, Daniel Johnson's going to go, I think it was 2-11 from the field, get 16 points and under double rebounds, do you think they're going to win? You and both and I would be sitting here going, not a chance in hell. Right. No. And that's what happens. So you've got to give credit to Dan Shamir, because I kind of am warming to him as a coach. I really don't mind him at all. But anyway, we'll come back to that.
I like him better as a director of basketball.
Oh, giddy up. There you go. You always got him. Boom, boom. Okay.
But look, Isaac Humphries was the man.
He was the goat, mate. He was.
And how much do I love the interview after the game where John Casey said to him, he had five blocks and I had six. He was pissy about it. But that shows me that he's wanting to be a defensive presence and intimidate. If you're counting your blocks, that's a stat that, you know, not many people can actually compile. So if you're counting them and you're annoyed because they've missed one, then I've got great news for him if he hasn't seen the website or he hasn't gone to the NBL site, because they've revisited the stats. He's now down for seven blocks in that game.
Giddy up. So, I say he was the GOAT, he's not the greatest of all time. That's Andrew Gaze. But I'm just saying he was great in that game. But Isaac Humphries was great. And, you know, I think I may have said this on the show last week where I loved when I watched an interview of him where he said, I'm not the same player I was a few years ago when I played for the Kings. I want to show you what I can do. And we saw that game. Now let's just hope that he can, you know,
I think he really can.
Look, Casper Ware, let's go to the Kings Carpans game. We're just breezing through these. He got some shooting back. There's been a lot of talk about him, about not shooting well, and we know that. Again, I think Cairns lost it rather than Kings winning it. You know, I think Cairns should have won that game. I'm very interested to hear your take, Boddy, where you've got Adelaide, Brisbane to a degree, and Cairns that are getting all these home games. And
they've got to be winning them. They've got to be winning them.
I'm assuming our listeners, they're pretty savvy. Crap.
They wouldn't be here if they weren't, eh? Hey, how's that, listeners?
No, they're savvy. But obviously, in theory, every team is going to get 14 home games. That's what the theory is. So if Cairns have 5-6 now, that's 5 or 6 they're on the road at the end of this season, where they'll be in Illawarra and they'll be in Sydney and they'll be in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Right. So, COVID notwithstanding, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, I think today it was 2 weeks or something. So, so this is going to potentially come back to bite those teams, but other teams will be interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought Kings were great. Vasiljevic, I hope I'm saying that right.
But try it, Vasiljevic.
That's what I said. You weren't listening properly.
No,
and you know who has just impressed me? Brad Newley. He's just like a good old wine. You know, just
W-H-I-N-E, like the Cairns type bands, that sort of wine. No,
yeah,
like the Barossa Valley.
There you go.
Clarenvale, which is South Australian wines.
Yeah. He's just getting better with age.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, he's playing really well. He's playing really well, you know.
For me, I just cannot go by. No. I'm shattered for Angus Glover.
Oh, that okay.
Kid. Yeah. So just to set over the scene for everyone, and then I'll let you say it. This poor kid is 22 years of age. He's an Illawarra junior. He's played all his career basically Illawarra, played an outstanding season last year. I'm pretty sure he signed a three-year deal with the Kings this year, but anyway, he signed a contract with the Kings. He has had three knee reconstructions. Three. I think it's two on one leg, one on the other, obviously, but saying is it's not three on the same knee.
Yep.
And his athleticism freaks me out with a guy that's had three knee reconstructions. He's athletic. He shoots the three. He runs the floor. Like, he's a great kid. 22 years of age. And it hasn't been confirmed yet, but it seems like it's done. And he's done a fourth knee reconstruction, buddy.
I'm shattered for him. Yeah. As somebody who's been through it, as someone who has had two daughters that have played at good levels and both have been through it, it's awful. One of my daughters tore an ACL twice, so he's been through it twice, and that's horrific. I cannot imagine what this poor guy is going through now. Yeah. You know, especially mentally and emotionally. You know, obviously physically, there's a surgery to be done, but what he has to deal with to come back, if he even can. Like, did you just say at some point, that's it, my body just means enough, can't enough. Do this?
Yeah.
And I hope that's not the case for him, but then I also hope that he doesn't come back and have something else happen. So it's really, really difficult. Very sad.
So I do a radio show up here in Sydney, and I was it was the Big Sports Breakfast on Sunday, and I said to them, I said, you know, about Angus, because it happened, and I said to them, I've never heard of a guy have four knee reconstructions. So someone actually ran in while we were on. We rang in and said, there's a guy in the AFL, I think he played for the Swans, that had six.
That's right. He was from Geelong, and now he's back playing in the Sandford. I've forgotten his name.
Six.
He just kept coming back, and Geelong just held his. He was playing for Geelong at that time. They just basically held that spot for him.
Now, my gut feeling, knowing who Angus is, and I've had a bit to do with him, been down in Wollongong. I've been calling games there for 6 years and always talked to him. My first thought is, there's no doubt this kid's just going to say, okay, I'll do it again. I'll have another reconstruction and I'll get ready. But I just feel gutted for the kid, you know. Sure. I mean, I never had knee issues. I had two shoulder reconstructions and ankle surgery. So I've never had that knee problem. So it's hard for me to sort
you gotta
of
jump. You got to jump to have knee problems.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's why they call
don't recall you. Yeah, I don't recall you dunking very often.
Look, every so often
your shoulder stretches into
a tee. I dunk a biscuit into a tee. I did that really good. The Amaranth. Man, I used to be able to dunk. No, I didn't. Yeah, I did actually, but it's Chris Grant.
The kiddie ring. Yeah, me too.
Let's just not go there. Okay, body. Let's move on because we're going. So that pretty much
time here, folks.
Do you want to? Yeah. Do you want to talk about this? We've talked about every other game. Do you want to talk about the Cairns Melbourne game, or it's just done? Same thing.
It's done. I'd rather actually talk about the what you were going to have as your Rose and Rattler, but we decided it's actually the Rim Rattler, and I'll let you describe it if you wish. The best dunk we've seen.
So everyone knows, Body runs the whole show here. That's why I call him what I want. So we ring up at least 30 seconds before we go on air, and Body's like, right, this is how we're doing it, you know, because he's from Adelaide, mate. And, you know, that running water and stuff. And he says, right, what's your Rose and Rattler? And I said, man, that Cam Oliver dunk, Body, that was ugly. You can't have that as your Rose and Rattler, he says to me. That's ridiculous. That's like, that's not a Rose and Rattler. That's just a real good dunk. So
that's the best moment of the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Well, best single athlete in England.
That's why I tried to take it.
Well, he had another pretty good one against United on the lob with that one hand. Nice, that was pretty potent.
Is that the one off Machado's pass?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, well, both of them. Both of them, actually.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
That dunk, and you saw it happen, and it was just beautiful.
In real time, yeah. Jordan Hunter and poor old Craig Moller.
Oh, yeah. He ended up his side. But I actually, there's a great photo you have seen on my Twitter feed, Body Bray Rose 5, where it's just someone took an amazing shot, and it's just like that enforcer face, you know, and it's an amazing dunk. So that was the play of the round by far. The Kings took chocolates, mate.
Yes, they did. And very consistent game.
I want to go on to round three. And as everyone knows, we said it before. So Brisbane played Sydney, and we know that game already. Yep. So Brisbane won by three. Do you call that a shock, Body? I guess in one way, the Kings really needed that. I'm still not convinced about Brisbane, but I thought their import was good.
Yeah, Vic Law was good. Orlando Johnson's hardly Orlando Magic. I was a little disappointed for Sydney that Luzada hurt himself again. And, you know, without Kickett, with Luzada then going out, and then with Hodgson into the Brisbane lineup, I mean, if we'd known those things in advance, I think we might have been tempted to go with Sydney, but you don't. And on form, Sydney, I was disappointed for Sydney to have lost that game, to be honest, because I don't really rate Brisbane very highly. I don't really rate Phoenix very highly at the minute. I don't really rate Adelaide that highly. And to be honest, I want to see a lot more from Cairns before I start thinking of them as the team they were.
Well, you can put Kings in that as well, because right now I think Jarrell Martin's brilliant. I think they picked up a real scream there. Yeah. It reminds me a little bit more of an outside game, but a guy that I play with only for half a season called Evers Burns. Completely different in the way they played, but just that beast mode. Do you know what I mean? Like focused. Evers was just a great guy. Big guy, like, you know, a little bit like the Norman Taylor, God bless his soul. That sort of mold. Do you remember Evers Burns, a left-hander? Do you remember that?
No, I don't vaguely. Yeah.
That was the year we went through 340 imports in a season.
Yeah. Yes, right. I remember that season.
So and he was really good. And I got along with him so well. And he was just a big fella, big body, and he just played hard. I just loved him. And that's I like about Martin.
Yep. Does it not crack you up, as it does me, to hear the commentators talk about how basketball is evolving and it's positionless now, and that the day of the big man is done? And here we are talking about Jarrell Martin, Isaac Humphries, Cam Oliver, John Mooney. Are these not big guys? Am I, my eyes deceiving me? Are these actually strips?
I've got to be honest with you. I see it both ways, because there isn't that Mark Bradkey. There isn't James Crawford.
No, but there is the Chris Anstey. That was he's that prototype, and that's what we're seeing. And I don't. There's a big place for a big man. He can post up or he can go out now. That's all.
Yeah. I agree.
The day isn't done.
When people ask me about Chris Anstey, I said he is like the Adam Gilchrist of the Australian cricket team. Completely changed the way a wicketkeeper is a player in that team. Can wicketkeep, and he's great, but he can bat like a mother, right? And then and that was Anstey. You know, he's the centre coming in. He can dominate as a centre, but he can step you outside, and that's what you're saying. And you're
That's right. And if you took someone like a Paul Rees outside, well, they were completely lost out there.
Yeah.
Whereas in the block, they were okay, which was what made him so fantastic, because he could handle both sorts of defences.
You know, I had a business with Paul Rees called Paul Rees Trophies.
I know that he had Paul Rees trophies. I didn't know that you were.
So myself and Bruce Bolden, here's a little story for you. So there was a guy called John Hogben. Shout out to Johnny. Hello, mate. Yep. So John was the trophy man. He owned the trophies, and he bought Paul Rees on. And that was when he was at North Melbourne, right? So they all did that North Melbourne Giants thing, and they sold trophies, and then they established it in Sydney, and myself and Bruce did it in Sydney. And basically the model was that we would go to all the associations and they would order trophies from us, and then Bruce and I would go out and deliver the trophies to the clubs at their presentation. So the whole idea was they're not paying any more for their trophies, but they get an NBL player to come out and hand the trophies out to their presentation night at no cost. Yeah, so that was quite the theme. So I think I made 84 cents on that. I think I did really well.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, the first book I did on basketball, women's basketball in Australia. Yeah, I made enough to recarpet my toilet.
And you don't even have carpet in there.
No, who does come out? Jeez.
Yeah. So, but look, for the Kings, they're starting to hurt. You know, no Angus Glover that gives them a punch off the bench. Diddy's injured. Of course, we know no Bogut, no Lish. No Tate that's gone from the import.
Yeah, you got to forget. You got to stop mentioning them. Kick it. How far away is Kick it?
Yeah, that's just come out of left field because my understanding, it's a rolled ankle. Right. I still and he's got to come back, but I still think Jordan Hunter's doing a great job, but he won't step out and hit the three like a kick it. So they are missing him. But look, I still, yeah, Cairns is the only question mark of the four. So we go. So Boddy, talk to me about the Adelaide New Zealand. Now, by the time our listeners hear this, this game would have been played. So we are going to look amazing or bloody stupid. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be part two of my comment. So I'm going to say New Zealand win that game. And I'm going to say they win it quite comfortably. Not 20 or 30, but I just think they'll just go nicely. That's my feeling. And obviously that means everyone get on Adelaide, but go and talk to me.
No, that was my feeling as well. The rumour today was that Corey Webster was going to be suiting up. And I just the thought of having Ty Webster and Corey Webster together.
How good was Ty Webster?
Sensational. I mean, he was tired towards the end. He had to carry a lot of the load. And I think that's what we need. You need your Finden Delaney's and Tom Abercrombie's and the rest of the crowd to actually step up. Lamar Patterson, you know, come on. Again, out of shape. And the other import, Colton Iverson, is that his name? Can I just talk about Lamar Patterson?
Yeah. I know there's a lot of talk, and this is probably going to – I'm going to get smashed on social media or whatever, but there's a lot of talk where, you know, oh, that's all right. He'll wave his way into the season. He'll be fit, and he'll get in the All-Star 5 or whatever it is. You know, mate, I have a real problem with that. You are a professional paid athlete.
Agreed.
You don't make your way into a season.
No.
You are ready from that tip-off on game one.
Absolutely. Otherwise, you're disrespecting yourself, your team, and the competition.
I don't like hearing don't worry about him. He'll come good at the end of the season.
He hasn't got as much time.
Imagine Bryce Cotton saying he had 27 points in game one. You know what? Don't worry about me. I'll be right at the end of the season. Mate, no way.
That's right. I can't abide it either. I think it's bullshit. But that's what – for them to be successful – last night, because we're recording it tonight, and we're talking about it as it was last night. For them to have been successful, they need a few other people to have stepped up and given Ty Webster some support. But I'm inclined to agree. I think they were unlucky to lose the first time around, and I expect them to win the second time. So as you say, we're either going to look smart.
Well, congratulations on the Adelaide 36ers for their win. Well done. We both think New Zealand. Righto, talk to me about some wins. Cairns Taipans versus Hawks in another home game for Cairns.
Yeah, sorry. Hawks won that really convincingly first time around. I would like to think that Cairns has had the wake-up call now. But, you know, we're four games in and we didn't see it after game one. We didn't see it after two. We didn't see it after three. Saw it a little bit against United. So hopefully they can make a better fist of it. But I'm expecting the Hawks to remain undefeated at this point.
Agreed. Can't see Cairns winning that game. Can't see it at all. Perth versus Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Another Perth Wildcats inflicted pain on the Phoenix.
Yes, agreed.
Brisbane versus Cairns at Brisbane. So this is the first road game for Brisbane. I'm going for Cairns in that one, Boddy.
Yeah, me too. It's the first road game for Cairns. And that's going to give them the opportunity to bond, to be on the road, to have one focus, winning the game. And as I recall last year, I reckon last season, it was a win in Brisbane that kind of started to kickstart them along. So I think maybe history might repeat here.
Yeah, I think they need to get away from that pop-up arena and get on the road where Mike Kelly can start to do his coaching. You know what I mean? I mean, not in the game. You know, it's the old Gorsh factor. 80% of your coaching's been done before the ball gets thrown in the air. Absolutely. He needs him on the road and get out of that. This is the tough one for me. Adelaide versus the Kings on Saturday night. Man, that's a toss of a coin for me. I'm going to go for Adelaide. And the reason I say this is Sydney have never travelled well in Adelaide. And I remember when I played, it was always, but that was Brett Maher days and all those things. It was always a tough venue to go to. I just think Adelaide get that. I don't know why, Boddy.
So you, This is your toss-up? So you're being a tosser, is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I'm always a tosser. Like, you told me that from day one, and I'm sure everyone's... You know what? I can just imagine all our listeners going, nodding their head, yeah, he actually is.
Well, you know, I meant it in the best of spirit.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I do. Casper Ware has had his problems in Adelaide. Jarrell Martin and Jordan Hunter... coming up against Isaac Humphries and Daniel Johnson. Mm. Yeah, I might just be leaning toward Adelaide myself on this one.
Mm, okay. Melbourne United versus Phoenix. Do we just move on?
Yeah, Melbourne.
Yeah. And then Perth versus New Zealand. Look, anything can happen there. I'm going to go for Perth for the home win. But New Zealand, they're just that team. And New Zealand like going over to Perth.
At the website, I've picked New Zealand to win that. That will be the upset of the round, I would think.
Well, there's bodynodge.com, BOTINAGY.com, the greatest writer of Australian basketball sport. Make sure you check that out.
Now, so give us a Rosen Rattler, because you know I'm struggling for a Nodge Nasty. Give us a Rosen Rattler.
I wouldn't just say you're struggling for a Nodge Nasty. You're struggling, but that's a separate issue. Mate, I've got to just throw one at you and... Look, this is just me. I'm struggling with my Rosen Rattler of the ladder. Now, when you look at the ladder right now, there's a game, New Zealand versus Adelaide. I get that. But just take with me right now. Melbourne is 2-0. Perth is 1-1. Or 1-0. Sorry. 1-0. Illawarra 3-0. Adelaide 2-2, but they'll be on it. But Illawarra are third at 3-0. But Melbourne are first at 2-0 and Perth are second at 1-0. I don't get that, Potty.
Okay, well, let me explain it to you. Your positions on the ladder are determined by your wins and losses, obviously, by how many wins you have, the percentage of wins as against the games you've played. So if you've won 100% of your games, which the Hawks have with 3, which Melbourne has with 2, and which Perth has with 1, they're all equal. They've all won 100%.
But, Boddy, so Illawarra have won 3 games.
Doesn't matter. They're still, that's right, they're 100%. And if they lose one, they'll be 3-1, they'll be 75%. And that's the percentage that matters, that percent. And so Melbourne is 100%, they're 2 out of 2. Perth is 100%, they're 1 out of 1. So they're all equal. It doesn't matter that one's played more games. In the sort of schedules that we have, people are always going to be playing more games. They're never going to be even games, all right, until the end of the season. So how then do you split teams that are both on 67%, one, say, 2 out of 3? How do you split them? You split them with your points percentage. So the Hawks, they haven't, you know, apart from beating Cairns by 16, their other games have been quite close. So their points percentage isn't as good as United, who belted Adelaide. And, you know, obviously their points percentage wasn't too badly impacted by their 2-point win in Cairns. And the same with Perth.
No.
Perth won by 12. So
you have officially lost me at hello.
Well, I'm glad our listeners will get it, because I know that they will. All right. Now, is there a better way of doing it? Yes. It's the games behind system.
Yes. That's what I want to see. I like that.
But I think the NBL is too frightened to do that. They don't think our audience is sophisticated enough to follow that sort of system. Mm-hmm. And I think they're wrong. I think they might have been right 10 years ago. But with the influx of the NBA and the NBA influence, yeah, I think everybody understands the games behind concept.
Well, that's where I think I probably struggle. Because I do see the NBA and I do it. Look, I mean, I joke around with it and I say, oh, whatever, but it'll all wash out in the end. That's the bottom line. It will all wash out and the right teams will be there, but I do have it. Before you come to your Nodge Nasty, there's one thing, or actually two things I wanted to talk to you about. The first thing is the decals. Now, you've been spraying on this for the past few weeks, right? And there's a lot
going on. Yes, you had it right the first time.
Yeah, yes, you're right. Yeah, there's a fair bit about going out the details, and I love the fact that the NBL came out and mentioned it, and we're looking at it. Talk to me.
Well, somebody on Twitter sent me a response, which I thought was brilliant, and that is, why have decals at all? Well, understand that we need to maximize advertising opportunities for the people that are supporting the sport and pumping money into it. Get that. But why have decals? Why not have virtual ads on the floor in the way the AFL does it, and possibly even the NBA sometimes does that with the shot clock, you know, where they've got the shot clock operating inside the keyway? You know, you can do things virtually, because that is for the television audience to see that advertising on the floor. It makes no difference to the crowd at the game. Sometimes we don't even have crowds at games, but the crowd at the game is bombarded with advertising pretty much all night from the moment they get there, on the big screen, on the things around the floor. So they don't need it. So a virtual decal or virtual ads would solve the problem straight away, I think. And I think whoever, I'm sorry I didn't pay attention to who it was that sent me that. If you're listening, great job.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good idea. The last thing I want to say, you've been quite vocal, Scotty Hobson.
I haven't been vocal. I've just said I'm curious as to whether he's going to follow the same path as Sean Long, who dominated when he was with the Breakers, came into the United program and what didn't have the same degree of impact. And so we've seen Scotty Hobson the first game with coming from the Breakers to United had very little impact. Second game, very little impact. So I'm curious to see how that plays out. You know, I'm hoping he's just finding his feet and we get to see the best of him because he's a hell of a good player to watch when he's in full flight. But I'm curious as to whether the United system suits him.
Yeah, and what's interesting is he took 14 shots in that game, the most out of any player. And I did notice too, when times they needed a score or after timeouts, they ran it to him. So it will be interesting to see how that goes, and we will keep monitoring it. Talk to me. Not just nasty.
Not just nasty is I've got a complaint about people who don't understand how the table works. It's very simple. Yeah, doesn't matter how many games you play, it's what your percentage is, okay? Percentage of wins. So it doesn't matter if you played four or two. Or three, it's your percentage of wins, okay?
I'm laughing my head off, and based on that, that is the Body Podcast. That is absolutely brilliant, Body. You got me. You've done it good. Just everyone, you can picture him riding the bike, can't you? Getting the electricity out down there in Adelaide. God bless your soul.
I feel like that. We've had a rough week.
Body, you're a legend as usual. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. We absolutely have a ball here. We have fun. Please make sure you check Body's website. He is the greatest rider, let's be honest. BOTINAGY.com. He's brilliant. Check out our Instagram and Facebook, please on Twitter. I don't think we're on Facebook, but I just said it anyway. So Twitter. Body, thank you, mate.
Pleasure always. Thank you for all these fine things you say, bro.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it sounds like my wife. Guys, have a great week and we'll see you next time.